Blog Talk Radio.
By the way, my enthusiasm is up. I'm getting better as far as my health is concerned, but I'm also getting older, so I'm getting faster and slower at the same time, if you can relate to that. Today, October 20th, Saturday, you know it's time for the cool critics. Sometimes we act the fool critics, but it's going to be a good show today. I want to tell you about the next week's Cool Critics Session show. We will talk to Ella Logan about animal cruelty and animal rescue. We'll talk to Lester Walker, who was colorful and inspiring on Chopped. He won $10,000 on the Chopped show, where the four chefs compete, you know, and they get eliminated one by one, which is my favorite part. Well, he won $10,000, and he was very inspiring as a young black man who is now a chef in New York City. And we'll talk about the topic Phyllis Georgia Brown Sugar wants to discuss, Wereth the 11th, Massacre and Memory, the memorial. You'll get the post before the week. Coming up right after today's critical will be Rodney Jackson, Welcome to My House. And then tomorrow, it's a full lineup. The way I see it, the banner show that started it all at 2 p.m. Pacific. 5G Sports at 5 p.m. Pacific with D. Taylor and Hakeem. And everything Lakers. You know, Steve Nash and the new Superman, Dwight Howard, who started a little riff with Shaq. But he didn't start the riff. It's the media. It's always the media. Like Chris Rock says, it's the media. Dwight Howard are Lakers now. Steve Nash and Dwight Howard are Lakers now, and they are in the preseason. Stephanie Beard is going to be the show. Today is Sweetest Day, okay? The Great Lakes states are saying, Happy Sweetie, and the rest of the world is saying, huh? Yeah. So I remember when I went to another city to be a jock, and then I said, hey, what are you guys doing for Sweetie's Day? And they looked at me and they said, what the hell are you talking about? So, and that was kind of a, you know, it ain't the same everywhere you go, but sometimes it is. But it's a great celebration for your loved ones. I like to say Happy Sweetie's Day to Sharon Tolliver, who's still in the hospital right now, recuperating from a knee operation, not a baby. So let's start with Valcine. She was the first one that called. How was your week, and what do you want to say?
I want to say hello and happy, happy, happy Sweetie's Day, everybody. We made that day up in Cleveland. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that Sweetie Days originated from Cleveland, Ohio? From the, I think it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer, or the, Cleveland Press. And I had a nice week enchanting. Mm-hmm,
enchanting.
Mm-hmm. Enchanting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My eyebrows rising on that one. And the birdies are saying their hellos now. I'm really excited about this show.
Okay, good. Mark?
Yeah, happy Sweetest Day. No.
Oh, like really?
Hey, the rest of you guys can go to hell. I'm from Cleveland, too, but Sweetest Day is not on my menu.
Am I getting feedback?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
You get feedback if you say the wrong thing, but, you know, no.
Well, yeah, I think I'm in the minority on this topic this week, so I'm going to get a lot of feedback, but that's okay.
But you don't like Sweetest Day?
No, I love Sweetest Day. I love Sweetest Day. It gives me an opportunity to buy another card from American Greetings. You know, but I'm,
What you're saying is Valentine's Day is enough, right?
Boy, you are getting me in so much trouble. And I'm going to call back because I'm getting a lot of static on this phone.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
I wanted to have a shout out to Sharon too today.
Okay.
I just wanted to say hi, and I hope she's getting better on her recovery.
Okay.
I just wanted to read. Oh, everybody's feeding back. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
CC?
Yeah. I'm giving the feedback too.
Okay, then you might want to, you know, hang up and call back. You know, that's probably got to be something that Blog Talk is into.
Oh, man, this is going to be an interesting
show.
I might have to call back.
Okay, Mark?
Okay,
are you
back.
In? Okay, Mark?
Okay,
are you
back.
In?
Yeah,
you know what I'm
going to
do? It may be my phone.
Uh-huh.
It may be my phone.
Uh-huh.
Or it could just be the board. What we're going to do is we're going to play a song, and then we'll... get right back. Or could just be the board. What we're gonna do is we're gonna play a song.
You
The confectioners, the people who made candy and stuff like
that.
Of course,
be a sweetie.
assistance of the plain dealer, and it was all manufactured to just sell more candy. So
don't you think a lot of things like that are manufactured, like, you know, Halloween, which is coming up, you know, because I bet you people sell enough candy during this period of time to last them the whole year in your revenue or half.
The thing with Halloween is we're not expected to do anything personal with ourselves, you know, with these kind of holidays. I mean, the way I see it is every day should be Sweetest Day. I mean, if you really love the person you're with, you know, I feel like it's a little disingenuous to be told to bring you flowers. I mean, does it really mean anything because this day told me to bring you flowers, or does it mean more because I brought you flowers just because?
Aaron, your black book potential just went up another 300 slots.
But, hey, you know what? I got good news, Lynn. I got good news.
Okay.
I got a job. I've been waiting.
Hey, that's great. Round of applause for Aaron A.
So, thank you, thank you. So I will be joining the fine folks at AT&T, and I will be climbing utility poles again and stuff like that. So it's going to be a very physical job, but I guess they got the right guy to do it.
Okay. Good luck and be careful. Cece.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi. Very great week. Very good week. And as far as Sweetie said, when I came here to Cleveland when I was 15, when I first heard about Sweetie said, I was like one of the folks that said, what was that day? Yeah. But I like the idea behind it. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, even though we might show our love throughout the day, there's nothing wrong with adding a little extra something else to go with that. So I love it. I celebrate all holidays. So, yeah.
Okay. Six Eyes. Before I call you the other name, Six Eyes.
Yeah. He's probably on mute.
He probably is on mute. He's probably asleep because he works a lot of hours now. You know, he got 33,000 people on his show, on I think on sepia.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's not going to say anything. He's giving us the silent treatment, you know, because that's what happens when they get real popular.
Six Eyes. Where, you know,
you got to wake them up.
Six Eyes.
Yes, how's it going?
Oh, there you go.
Flowers. I mean, does it really mean
you're on.
Oh, that's his phone doing that.
Yeah, you need to hang. Are you calling us on Skype? Well, let's get the show going
more
and figure that out. Let's get the show. Aaron, you're blacked that out. Yeah, that was his phone. So we all hung up for nothing. Isn't it something?
Yes,
we're hanging out today.
Isn't that something? We are going to stomp all over your head this day.
So anyway, we're going to play a couple of songs and get underneath the show. Today's show is, you all saw the spoof debate with Obama and Romney where they ragged on themselves and ragged on each other. Are they all spoofs in the polls? Are they legit within a nanosecond of accuracy, or is it just what they want to tell us? And how can we prove it? Regardless of the polls, it's up to you to vote and then continue to contact and beef about what we need. We can't just vote a guy in and then let him take the wheel completely. Some of us have to drive also. And more bus drama. You know, there's, you know, drama, violence on public transportation all over the country. So we're going to talk about that also. But we're going to do this song here for Valcine.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Hey.
The first time I realized when I looked in your eyes, you and I were made to love.
Political machine all year round, right?
I work for the Obama, I volunteer with the Obama campaign, yes.
So this is like an everyday thing for you. That doesn't mean that you have to watch television. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, monitor all the commercials. I mean.
I watch TV. I watch television 24/7. As far as when I'm at home, I'm my channels are either MSNBC or CNN. I'm getting
okay.
more information that way. So I am constantly abreast on what's going on, if not through the campaign, mainly through TV. And I think it's the thing with that is you want to know what the audience is getting, you know, like with the polls. I think that's mainly what the polls are for. They do a focus group on different questions to ask about the campaigns and find out where people are at to get an overall general idea of what's going on. But my thing with the polls sometimes is you're not – what areas are you getting this information from? Because everyone is not the same in certain areas. So, you know, it's a good.
I remember Anderson Cooper, and I didn't watch, you know, a lot of it, but right after the vice presidential debate, Anderson Cooper showed four letters that Paul Ryan sent to the administration for support on what Obama put through. Four letters, not
right.
two. You
right.
know. And, you know, so then that's a lie. You know, and I'm not saying that Obama didn't lie and Biden, you know, none of, because, you know, a politician, you know, if you look at liar in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of all the politicians. And, you know, that's just the way I feel. You know, they're not going to be truthful. They find a way to answer a question without answering it. You know, like Don King was great for that. He, you know, you ask him something, and every answer he gave you was the promotion of his fight, which was good because he promoted the fights excellently. But, you know, we all don't have to watch the fight. We're not all affected by the fights like we're affected by the political process. Mark, your comment on this.
I am enthralled about what's going on here. And I would love to have Jay come on. I hope he's listening because if you recall a couple of months ago, he was saying that, don't worry. I don't like Obama because he didn't give housing credits and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But he's going to get reelected. This is as close as it's going to get for a presidential election. I mean, this is one of the most exciting ones I've seen a long time, and obviously everyone knows where, you know, my loyalties lie. But it's just such a tense mm-hmm. couple of weeks that we're about to embark upon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that I'm really kind of scared, to be honest, because of the way the polls are turning out. And mm-hmm. let me say this about polls. I absolutely hate polls because what it does is it influences people. People who mm-hmm. don't have an opinion will look at a poll and say, okay, I didn't have time to really look at, you know, read up on issues or whatever, so I'm just going to take someone else's opinion. And if the majority says that issue this or this candidate is wrong, I'm going to go along with them because I didn't have a time. I didn't do my due diligence and go out and research. So, you know, the other thing is, since we have 3 to 4 different time zones in this country,
okay,
the results that come in on the East Coast affect the people on the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
If, you know, they get out at, you know, 7 o'clock, which is 4 o'clock West Coast time, and they start saying, oh, early results are. You know, that's really detrimental to the people on the West Coast that don't have the impetus or they don't, you know, it's like, ah, the candidate's lost. I'm not going to get out and vote. You know, it's already done. Now, they've done a whole lot better than that in the last 3 or 4 election cycles, you know, because they know that polls influence. But polls, it's damn near close to Citizens United at this point. You know, it just is so influential on crafting opinion among people who are just workaday people. You know,
right.
they don't have the time or the inclination to read newspapers, go on blogs. You know, they're not passionate. I mean, I've got a passion for politics that started probably in the seventh grade. You know, social
what
studies.
Was that?
Well, I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe it was, you know, I don't know if you remember, but my mom was a precinct committee woman.
Okay.
She lobbied heavily for Barnes, the original Barnes,
John
our councilman.
Barnes, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. She was really plugged into the political process, and it gave me a passion for it. And at Kennedy, we had some great, great social studies teachers when I was there. I actually even went to the mock debate for McGovern versus Kennedy back in, 69, I think? No, 72, I'm sorry, 72.
Okay,
where
I was gone.
Yeah, you were gone. You know, where we actually put on a mock presidential debate as to who was going to win. We were wrong because Nixon won. But, you know, I've had a long affinity and passion for politics. I've even done some speech writing in my day for a candidate down in Columbus for judge. And I was really involved until my ex-wife turned Republican.
All right, Barack Dixon. Timmy Kent says.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I'm 62. Stop.
Timmy Kent says polls are horrible. They are not getting to a lot of Americans. Think of all the people that don't get. Who are they polling? They don't have sale numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn Littlejohn says scams. So, hey, the chairs and Ray Ellis, what do you think, man?
Well, I think when it comes to polls, people only like when the polls are for their people. That's really what it's like. I mean, polls, actually, they do sample a certain amount of each population when they do polls, a good poll.
You know, do you know, like, the actual number? Do they poll 50,000 or 100,000?
Well, actually, most times they usually do 1,000. 1,000 up. They usually don't do more than maybe 5,000 for the most part.
Okay.
When they actually take samples of. Now, what I will say, let's say if they sample the black community. Like in Chicago, if you sample Madison, Illinois, that's different than the far south side of Chicago, you know? So it's different, two different sets of black people, economic situations, such and so forth. So, I mean, but generally, some polls tend to be accurate, but ideally, I mean, it's just people want to know information. That's what polls are. People want to know. We're in a 24-hour news cycle. People want to be informed about what's going on. But when it comes to individual, when it comes to politics in general, let's say people only care when their person is up, because they get them motivated. That gets them to be able to say, "Hey, our guy's winning." You know, get that esprit de corps going. I mean, that's really what it's about. And then all the people that criticize the polls are the losers.
Here's what I think about polls, because I don't care whether the polls got my guy ahead or not. This is me. Because what I did was I asked some people who did research, "Hey, did you ask the same person that you asked the last time?" You know, they say trends. It's all cosmetics to me. You know,
I was going to say, if anybody else read True Damn Lies and Statistics on the panel? It was a book that was written.
What's the name of the book?
Truth, Damn Lies, and Statistics. Okay.
No, I've never heard of the book.
Because it's a data collection. Like if I ask the panel here, do you all think people who sell drugs should go to prison? Most people would say yes. Now, a lot of people will say yes. But if you say it costs $30,000 to how the inmate that was caught with a nickel bag of marijuana, do you think he should be in prison? People make, you know, decisions on answers based on how much information they have at the time.
Right.
One question they would answer yes to, one question they would answer no to. But it's really, it's all in who's asking the question. That way, if you actually look at any peer-reviewed academic study, they show, they actually put out there the questions they ask to see whether they were biased or something.
Right.
It's scrutinized. But you don't see it. Polling for politics doesn't go through the same scrutiny as academic research. They don't. They don't.
And they also don't often mention the margin of error. Because all
right.
the polls
they do.
Have a margin.
They do. They happen
well,
on the polls. They show
often. Often,
yeah.
But you know, when you're speaking to someone, when one of the talking heads are actually speaking about the poll, you know, it may be on the chyron on the screen, but they're not saying, okay, you know, Obama's up in Ohio, but you know, the margin of error, blah blah blah. Not often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, if you get the same information,
study.
You can take a Gallup poll and give that same information to MSNBC, to CNN. To all the rest of them, to Fox News, and each of them can do a twist the
yep.
way they want to do the twist.
Yep.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
that kind of eliminates the accuracy for me. What eliminates the accuracy, whether my guy is winning or not, what eliminates the accuracy for me is the amount of people that they solicit, which you said is 1,000, no more than 5,000, and then they don't, you know, if they're doing a trend, they're not asking the same 1,000 or 5,000 that they asked the last time. And they could do a, let's say, use Romney and Obama. Romney could have 48% and Obama could have 42%. And then they'll say, because of so-and-so, actually Obama won the poll, even though he's trailing. Because they can say anything they want. Nobody's contesting it. You know, like if Wolf Blitzer is talking to John King, you know, John King says, hey, wait a minute, man. How could Obama be leading if Romney has 48%? I mean, whatever, and the other is undecided. 48 and 42 would be 90, and the other 10% are undecided. So they can put a spin or a twist on any data they want if that's what they want to do.
Or then they'll cite another poll that, you know, doesn't necessarily contradict the poll that they're talking about. But, like, I've noticed on NBC they do it a lot, and I love NBC. But they'll say Romney is now leading, but among women voters or among voters in Ohio or, you know, so it kind of takes the sting out of their message. So, yeah, it's really kind of
Hey, Aaron Anderson put
jaded.
In the chat, what's wrong with polls? They are people, too. There are some very fine Polish people in the world. I don't understand all this controversy over polls.
I'm glad he was talking about people and not body parts.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I also look at it from polls of their purposes for, like, campaigns where they need to know what's going on with the populace in a whole. I don't really see where it should be used as much as it does on the news for giving it out to the people. I think that campaigns should use the polls for their benefit or get into those certain areas to campaign to get the word out. I think that's the only good thing for polls. But anything else, you know, I look at polls for trending to find out what is going on in certain areas, not saying that it's going to affect my whole outlook on the whole country as a whole, but it just gives me an idea of what's going on and what to look out for in the trending coming up. So that helps me there, but I mean, it, at the end of the day, it still goes down to what happens on November 6th. So.
Hey, you know those little things that they sent out? This is Val. You know those little flyers that they sent in your mail right before election, and they said, this is who you vote for. Just follow this piece of paper. Those little flyers, and they have the pictures of the candidates on it.
Yeah.
I use those things.
Instead of polls?
No, I just use those things if I happen to go to the poll, but I do the absentee. I mean, I do the mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
I think a good thing that they do is if you don't understand the people, because I've been at the polls before and don't know who is who and what is what. You see what I'm saying? So they sent out these little flyers. Has anyone ever received those in
the
mail?
Right.
All the time.
Yeah. You know, I look at all of those things as like bulk mail.
Mm-hmm.
But Sharon Turner, Tolliver, did a advance, what do you call it, a pre-mail, a pre-vote. She's already voted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And you know, those really matter.
We're smart.
Those really matter for, like, judges. Because you never know the political affiliation of a judge, you know, when they put out their advertisements.
Okay.
You know, so well, I always
actually,
want to know.
Actually, for the judges, the political affiliation really doesn't matter when you actually look at what they're for.
Right.
That's one of the things I think as black people, we don't we vote for judges just locking our brothers up for nothing. You know, whether they got a D or R behind their name, it doesn't matter. But we don't watch those things. So those little mailers do help. When it lets you know who's for what and the difference between the candidates, especially
well,
for judges.
I mean, I'll agree with that in principle, but still there's a political machine behind everyone who runs for a political office. And if someone is being backed by the Democratic Party, there's only so much leeway they have when they run for judge again. So they're going to kind of follow a kind of thought process, you know, in the doctrine that, you know, the party that supports them. But,
that's
yeah,
I
agree
Chicago,
with you.
I'll say that.
Well, Chicago's special now. Come on.
Yeah, I lived in Chicago for a little
come
while,
on,
Ray. I know what you're talking about.
Like Dr. King said, he never saw racism like he saw in Chicago.
I feel you there.
I like to pose myself because when you see that your candidate is behind, let's say Obama's behind, you know, I think it kind of energizes the base and, you know, to kind of get out there and vote. I think the original question was.
So on the contrary, if you see him ahead, do you not vote? Now, let's say if Obama had, you know, 75% of the poll, do you not vote now? Because
no,
everybody isn't the same. Some people will say, hey, he's got it, since it'll be gone.
I would still continue to vote, but I think there's a lot of people who just wouldn't ordinarily vote. And when they see that if they really like Obama and he's down, you know, it might energize them to come out and go ahead and vote for Obama.
Okay, 918-878. What's your name? What's your
name? This is me, Lynn.
Get out, Lynn Littlejohn. You're on.
Hi. Polls are fake. And I know this because, you know, right after the freaking debate, you know, Mitt Romney, or shortly after, is ahead. You should have seen my mom. She was just, like, despondent. And when people, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't have a mind of their own, and they just, like I said in the chat, follow the crowd. So if they hear over and over and over Mitt is ahead by 2 points or whatever, they're going to tend to feel like the majority of the people want Mitt. So it's a part of the scam that I believe is going on. I'm sorry. I just believe it's a scam.
You know what? I think the difference between the polls and just using the polls and using the polls with other facts, the difference of that is if you're getting into other information that, like, the news is putting out about a candidate or something, and you got actual facts because you see them in the pictures saying certain things like, okay, I'm for this, then the next time they got something I'm against it, those things kind of help. You know, that's where you're getting your facts from. Now, the polls, yes, is a motivator, but I wouldn't use the polls as straight up fact. I want the thing that you should be looking for is the stance that they're taking, that the media facts that has been put out from what they're saying, from what you see they're doing, so forth and so on.
And I understand that, but what about what I just said? Do you believe me or do you not believe me when I say the polls are fake and that it's all a part of the scam?
I don't believe you. I have to agree with Cece.
I mean, the polls is just a tool. I mean, they shouldn't be your brain. You know, they shouldn't tell you how to vote. I mean, if you look at the polls, I was thoroughly convinced that John McCain was going to win the election. And I was quite surprised that not only did Obama won, but he won with a nice little lead there. And, you know, if you follow the polls, you know, it would have suggested McCain was going to win. And the problem isn't the polls. The problem is the voter. If you're using the polls to do your thinking for you, then something's wrong with the voter. It's not
right.
The poll.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I said, but I just still feel that it's a visual and a scam, if you would, to put it in the ears of the people that MIT is really good regardless of what they are saying or what is an absolute.
Yeah, it
means along those same lines, I mean, are we not supposed to have debates because, you know, one candidate is going to do better than the other and he's going to outshine the other? I mean, should we not have – I mean, it's just a tool. It's just a tool to use to help you assess – help you assess a decision that you're going to make. It shouldn't make your decision for you.
But, you know, also, too, what makes it not so much not fake is that the polls might be targeted in a certain area. Like, okay, say, let's go back to Mitt Romney might have went to a certain affluent area in Wisconsin where they got that information to poll. Like, by the prime example, well, they did the debate. They did the debate in the town. When they had the people doing the focus group and their polling, it was all in that one particular area. So that area might have a total different social economic background than the overall country. They did that polling off of what they're saying. So it does. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily fake. It serves purpose for a certain area or target group, but it plays a part. If you can't just go by just the polls.
Okay,
if anybody's voting the way of, if anybody's voting just because of what a poll says, I mean, I'm voting for Obama all the way. It doesn't matter if he's down 20 points. I'm voting for Obama. You know, I'm voting on issues, not about what the polls say.
I'm going to vote.
You know, polls, I'm going to compare polls to, like, the Billboard music chart. The Billboard music chart, when it was dominated by radio play around the country, radio stations would look at the charts to see what they should add, as opposed to looking at their audience and playing the records for that. So the charts, even though it's fed by the radio stations and sales, the radio stations looked at it to see what they should play, kind of like the polls. So if, let's say, you were in the middle and you didn't know who you wanted to vote for, and they said Romney was ahead, so then you voted for Romney. Or let's say you were a Romney person, and Obama is looks like he's going to win. And I'm not saying this goes to everybody, because it doesn't apply to everybody. But
no,
there's a lot of people that will switch with the polls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but, I mean, we can't account for the dumbasses of the world. I mean,
and they are in that category. You can say the same thing on
political ads. I mean, are we not supposed to have political advertisements?
Well,
I mean, are we not supposed to have anything political at all? Should we just read
I'm sorry.
But going back to what I said earlier, we're kind of all plugged in here. I mean, that's why we're talking about this on, you know, primetime Saturday night. So, you know, we're out there researching and we're doing that.
Right.
There's only 4% of the electorate that's up for grabs. Only 4%. You know, unfortunately, Romney had it right. It's about 47-47. If you look at, I hate to say it, the polls, you know, that's where we're wavering. So with one candidate has to win 51%, they've only got that 4% of the people to look at. And a lot of people, I think, are saying they're undecided, but I think that's bullshit. You know, they're leaning one way or another. But if a poll can push them one way or another, and, again, they don't have the wherewithal to go out and do the research and make up their own mind, they're going to let those polls sway them one way or another, because they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be in the minority and say, damn, I voted for a loser.
That's the sad part. This is the sad part about all that, though. We have called the Internet now. We have, in that 24-hour news cycle, there is no excuse for someone not to go on the Internet and find out what's going on. You got all kinds of information on each candidate. Just type the name in, and there you go. And then read it. It doesn't take long. You know, take your time and read what's going on. Then make a conscious decision, and then go and do that. I stress that to a lot of people. When I'm talking to a lot of support of people that are trying to, you know, get them out to vote, I'm not necessarily saying vote for my candidate. I'm giving you information, and I tell them, look, don't just take my word for it. Go do your research. You know, all I want to do is, especially when respected, I want to register you, make sure that you're going to be able to vote. Now, here is the information. Get the facts, do your, and then do a conscious, do some conscious, make it a conscious decision on your vote. That's the best way to go about it. I cannot stand it when people will say, just vote for my candidate. No, I'm not even on that. I'm looking at the vote itself. You know, yes, I stand by Obama. I'm gonna always stand by Obama. But I'm not going to sit here and try to push off Obama on somebody who is going to also, who, you know, if they don't, if they have a problem with a certain issue, I say, well, look, just go and get the information and find out, weigh both of them out, and then make your choice. I can't make you vote for Obama. I wish you would, however, but get the information. That's all that matters.
And unfortunately, some people will just sway with the majority, and they have a right to do that. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, people.
I wanted to say that I make my statement, or I ask my question, whatever, in all sincerity, because where I am right now, I really don't trust anybody. Pretty much anything. So that's the reason why I say what I say and I do what I do. And I'm Obama all the way, but I do sincerely believe that there's going to be some scams and all that old type of shit going on in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, prime example, the voter suppression stuff. I've been so pissed off about this, Arizona. They got, they're sending out the registration cards to the Spanish and telling them that the election day is November 8th, that kind of stuff. I sat here all week and looked at all the voter suppression stuff that's been going on in our state. And it just really bothers me that, you know, people are influenced by so much, so many lies to get what they want. And I'm like, wait a minute. So my whole point of it was like, I had to get with some of my YouTube gurus. Like, yo, look, ladies, so let's get on here and put out the word. Don't let anybody stop you from voting. And don't be misinformed. November 6th is election day. Get out and vote. You know, don't let it, no one can tell you not to vote.
Hey,
you know what?
Has everyone seen the billboards they're putting out now in Cleveland that started in Cleveland?
Yeah. The
$10,000.
No, I haven't seen them. What are they?
Before we go in that direction, I just want to say, even if polls are phony, what I'm more concerned about are things that sway people are like Fox News and Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, people who tell lies like that, that's a bigger lie to me than a poll could ever suggest. You know, that worries me more than a poll could ever do. But.
Yeah, but lots of times with those people, they're talking to who are into them already. You know, it's very seldom that you're going to find. It's just like that small percentage that Mark said, 4%, 10%, whatever it is. It's, no matter what Rush Limbaugh says about Obama, all the Obama supporters are not going to listen to it.
But I think anyone who sways with the poll, they're probably switching back and forth between MSNBC and Fox and CNN anyway. So they're going to catch it. I mean, they're going to catch it. I'm sure MSNBC tells their versions of events too. You know, I'd be naive to not say that.
But I'm sure
the
staunch supporters are going to stand by their man, like Tammy Wynette. Okay, Mark, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say CeCe was mentioning the voter suppression. And it started here in Cleveland. Down in the hood, they have billboards that say something to the effect of voting illegally is a felony, you know, with this much amount of time in jail. If someone knows it more than I do.
$100,000 fine. Right.
Right. So they're really kind of intimidating, a voter that –
doesn't know whether they're legitimate or not.
Whether, maybe a felon, because felons can't vote in some states. And it started here in Cleveland, and it spread to the country. And they can't figure out who's actually doing it because the billboard company, I think it may even be Clear Channel.
It's Clear. It's Clear Networks.
Clear Networks, okay. Yeah,
right.
They're not. Go ahead, CeCe. You probably know more than I do.
They got them throughout Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus. They have them in Milwaukee, and they have them in Pennsylvania. They're getting out these big billboard poles with the gavel on it, and it's just really intimidating.
It states voter fraud is a felony, up to 3.5 years and $10,000 fines. But what makes the controversial is, why are these billboards only in the black neighborhood? And like Mark and Cece are saying, you know, to intimidate folk. You know, if I see that, I might, you know, what if I go to vote and they might want to lock me up? You know, everybody's politically savvy, and, you know, they're going to be a little, I don't know how much of an effect these are having, but even if it's having no effect, it's like, why are they targeting blacks?
You know what it is?
Because your name is Toby. That's why.
No, Kuta can't tell you Toby.
Right.
And let me say something else. Back in the 70s, George Clinton in the Parliament had an album title called America Eats Its Young. So now, if you're looking at it, isn't this crazy? And I'm sure there's other countries that, you know, South Korea, North Korea had the fights. But we had the Civil War where we fought each other, where brothers were fighting brothers. You know, so look at the way our country is. And I'm not saying that it's a bad country, because I don't think I want to live in Iran or, you know, other places. But there are still some issues in this country that if we could solve those, this would be a great place. You know, why don't they let, you know, draft people 35 and up? Why don't you let kids, you know, that go to the service 18? You know, I know they don't have a draft now, but they did draft a lot and lost a lot of lives that, you know, there's no grandchildren, there's no marriage, there's no sister-in-laws and all that other stuff, because those young boys and now young women have been slaughtered in the war. And I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't have soldiers to defend our country, but America eats its young. Look at the way that they sell product to you. Look at the way they rush out things and they have to come back because they have E. coli and all those other things. They're killing us and making a profit, and that's the way it is. And politics, I bet you there's not one politic except for Jesse Ventura who hasn't told a lie of some sort. So that's what we have to contend with.
You know, it goes to this thing, you know, blacks are scared of the police and all this stuff, which is sad. But you know what? At this particular time, I think it really has motivated people more so than just scaring them off. Because, you know, they know if the race was going on like back in 2004 and 2002, a lot of people didn't care, you know. But now with what's going on and the issues that are being put out now that are really affecting a lot of people, and including the minority, mainly the minority, because the minority is taking over the country. It's, you know, it's just a fact. Now it's just really motivating people to know what's going on. And so all these ads really are doing is just motivating people to get out and do their rightful duty of voting. So that's pretty much what these ads are doing. You know, it's going against everything that they set out to do at this point. Because I hear
I want to ask a couple of people. You've seen all the campaigns for president and all that other stuff. What happens if Mitt Romney wins Valcine?
I just have to follow what my president has to say.
Okay. Same question, Cece. What happens if Mitt Romney wins?
It's going to be a lot. At this point, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of rights to a lot of stuff that we really need at this point. And it's going to be a lot more chaos than I think going into the recession at this point.
I hear you chuckling, Ray. What do you
think?
That was me. Ray is the chuckler, you know.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, no matter who wins, it won't be doom or gloom. It won't. Okay. Because a couple different reasons. But the economy, well, people have to realize there's $4 trillion sitting in corporate coffers that have to be spent, because you have to spend money to make money. Whatever president
is here. Between 1 and 2 years from now, they're going to reap a windfall because the economy is cyclic. It corrected itself. The crash was supposed to happen because you had inflated real estate prices. Those homes weren't worth what they were selling for. It had to be corrected. So if people that's thinking doom or gloom, and see, when people have hopes on one person to change their life, now that's one thing that I will give Obama credit. I mean, well, I don't say credit, but I sympathize with him for it, is that people really thought their lives were going to change because he became president. He has to go through Congress. You know, the president pretty much can go to war for 30 days without going to Congress. That's the only power he has, truthfully, for the most part. You know, even with his appointments, he still have to get them cleared by the Senate. So people think one man can do everything. They get credit for the good things, and they have to get blamed for the bad things. But what people have to do is start asking themselves what they can do with their lives to be okay. Because everybody on this panel has lived through Democrats and Republicans, and we're still here. Nobody died. Okay, on this panel, everybody's here. They lived 8 years through Bush, 8 years through Reagan. I mean, 8 years through Clinton. Everybody's still here because we adjust. That's what we do. We adjust. Here's the thing. Let's take Mitt Romney with abortion. Here's the real thing. Abortion is what you call a wedge issue. A wedge issue is something that people know that politicians know they can't get it through. They know they can't take stuff away, but they throw that meat, that red meat out to their base.
George Bush was against abortion. But he did nothing.
And then you go next.
Go ahead.
Okay, Aaron.
I mean, you say nobody died, but what about all the people, men and women who died in fighting these wars that Bush pushed for? I mean, that's a lot of people dead right there alone. Not only people who lost their homes and killed themselves, people who don't have help.
Jay King is on. Let's get it on, y'all.
Now, Lynn, why you saying like that? I'm not coming here to fight. I'm coming here to involve myself in it. That was last week, and I didn't even want to fight. I just got called to lie, and that's what caused that fight. But I'm pretty cool. I think everybody know I'm pretty easy to get along with. Right? Okay, first of all, Barack Obama could have and should have made sure before he gave the banks that $1.1 trillion that he made them modify home loans. He didn't need Congress. He didn't need the Senate to do that. He could have done that on his own. That's why he didn't need to talk to them about giving them that money. There were certain things he could have done that would have made this whole thing a lot better. I believe that you guys aren't going to see this thing get better until somewhere around 2020. That's how bad this thing is. I believe if you guys start reading about Rome and you start looking at the United States, you're going to see a lot of similarities. The arrogance, the opulence, the idea that we are that we're too big to fail. That we're going to always correct ourselves. That our economy is going to correct itself. We've done that. The economy has corrected itself before. That's why World War One and World War Two and those wars happened. That's how we were able to correct the economy, because we started thinning people out. You kill people in the wars, you thin them out, you know, and then you build this whole thing all over again. I believe that we're in an outdated economic system. It's outdated, and it has to be recreated. We have to rethink this. The same way the world is being outdated, but it's amazing to me how we will look at the world changing, but because we're in the change, as much as we know the world is changing, we keep trying to do the world the same old way. I see it in the music business, so I watch it in the economic business. I watch it in the political business. I watch it in business. Look at us, Lynn, in the radio business. You and I, Lynn, are at the forefront of a changing radio. But yet people won't realize that, man, you know, these things are really changing. And until we really erase what we know and start to draw new things, we're going to keep doing the same old thing. We'll have the same old argument. about the same old things when all these new things are happening and we're going to get left behind. I really believe that, we have an economic structure that's old, outdated, antiquated, and it needs to be fixed.
I agree with you in a lot of regards, Jack. You know, a lot of people are afraid of this term, New World Order. But, I mean, we're also connected
now.
That term
has been around for a long time.
We're through Facebook and through, we're selling our goods overseas now. Like Jay said, the system that we had is antiquated. I mean, that was all fine and dandy when, we didn't really know. We used to take months to ship something over to China and get it back. And then we basically sold to ourselves. But now it doesn't take nothing to not only sell stuff to China, but make stuff in China and send it back. I mean, the world is becoming is one. And we can't keep looking at ourselves as, this country, that country, that country, this country. We got to, for some reason, it scares people to think of this new world order. But that's happening anyway, whether you like it or not.
We're in a world economy. We're in such a world economy, but nobody's going to understand it until it's right on them. Because it doesn't have to be this new world order that they're talking about, but we're in a world economy. That's why, and you'll start to see this stuff. You'll go to Greece and see how bad it is. Go to Spain and see how bad it is. The reason why the UK didn't buy into the euro is because the pound was so strong that it didn't need to. But even the pound is getting pounded because the whole structure, the whole world structure, really operated from the U.S.
I mean, whether we like it or not, this is happening. So either you adjust the changes or we're going to be left behind. And whether we like it or not, whether you like this new world order, where you like the way the world is coming at, it's happening, whether we like it or not. Technology is bringing us all closer together.
In Australia right now, they have it where people have these things where they can charge stuff. They said now where people had these little things in their wrist, like the barcode things, so their account and everything is connected to them. They're saying they're doing it right now in Australia. They're doing things around the world that we don't even know about, and we're too afraid to look at them because people, and all you got to do is look at anything in the world. It's always been afraid of change. And, listen, I go back to the record business because of what I really know, but before there were records, there was sheet music. And the guys that made sheet music, they were afraid of records because they felt like record sales would destroy sheet music, the publishing business. And what it did was it exploited it. It made it explode. It was bigger. And then when radio came along, record companies wouldn't let artists in the 1920s go on radio because they thought radio would kill record sales. But what radio did was expand record sales. But when we don't know something, the first thing we do, our first inclination, is to retreat and be afraid and call it bad. And we have to really now, if we really want, we got to start opening up and just start at least exploring. And by the way, I was sitting next to a white woman today on my flight, on my way home from Oklahoma, and I said, Romney, and she said any woman that votes for Romney is out of her mind.
Okay.
She said, I don't care how old she is, I don't care what color she is, I don't care what party she's affiliated with. If she votes for Romney, she's out of her mind, because he changes when he sees something bad to say something good, but he's going to do that something bad when it's come to doing something. And she said, and I'm an old lady, and I can see that. So I just want to throw that out there.
I got something good to say. Little John, she having some kind of drink going on over here. She said, I'll drink. I can't understand is what she can't type worth a hick. But anyway, I told her to send Sharon that drink. Because what kind of drink is that?
What the fuck? Pinnacle. Pinnacle cherry whipped.
I haven't had a drink since 1998, so I'm supposed to know what that is.
Glasses up, everybody, except for you, Jay. Glasses up, y'all. Let's drink it all down.
Now,
I didn't want to chime in. Now, one thing that Jay said was change is constant. That's the only thing that is constant is change. And you can be with it or you get swept up in it. But one thing I think people have to understand, most people, I think like microeconomics and macroeconomics should be taught to everybody. Because most of the stuff that happens, when you feel it, you're already late. People are, before the stock market went down in 2008, most wealthy people pulled their money out already.
Right.
They did. That's why it's $4 trillion sitting in coffers somewhere. Because they knew the crash was coming. You know? But people don't understand how the economy works about war. Because war is only fought over two things, land and resources. We don't do war for good. We'd be in Somalia right now helping people if we wanted to do good, but there's no oil there. Okay? We're not protecting our resources. In economics, if people don't understand, it's all about scarcity. Scarcity because it's never an unlimited amount of anything. So the powers that be control who gets what. That's the whole purpose of economics. Who gets what and for what reason. And I think ideally as a community, just the black community, and as a black man, I try to teach my children and teach my nephews and teach people that you have to somehow find a way to fit into the future. Because even if Obama wins, a lot of people are screwed. You know, of course, the educated black person will be okay. It may be more job opportunities in government and such and so forth. But we have an underclass, or as Michelle Alexander would say, an undercast, okay, of people that no matter who's president, they're going to suffer. And I think, and it's all due to a lack of knowledge and a lack of effort to actually get out here and understand what makes this economy tick. Because the reality, what nobody wants to talk about, there are jobs. There's tons of jobs. It's just most people don't qualify for them. Period. They require certain licenses. They require certain levels of education. They require those things that people blow off in school called math and science and stuff like that. So unless we're competing for a job with somebody in India right now. I was talking to one of my neighbors. He said, I got a cousin that's ready to come right now. Trade with you in a minute to come here to be an engineer. You know? But yet we have our own people here that's not seizing the opportunity that exists here because there are no good manufacturing jobs in the future economy. It's dead. People that's waiting on them, it's done. You know, and people are going to get swept up. Bad. Because we're not adjusting to the future. I tell people, man, it's just happening. You know, I'm changing industries for the same reason. My job is gone. They're going to probably lay all of us out in about 3 months. You know? So if I don't plan
now. But I think the idea that, I mean, listen, this is what I know. Barack Obama is not a great president to me. He's not the best president to me. He's better than Romney for me. He didn't do what I thought he was going to do, which was essentially be the president of change. And for me, the president of change would have looked different from any president before him. He would have actually went up against the banks and made sure that the home loans, mm-hmm. that situation happened. He would have made sure small business people would be able to get loans from the banks since we were giving the banks so much money. And he wouldn't have been in business with AIG and taking care of the insurance companies, giving them money. And what he would have done is he would have said, you know what? And had he done those things, the health care bill, his original health care bill, which was the real health care bill, it would have flew through the Senate and through Congress with flying colors because the people would have stood up for him. But, you know, I was a staunch Obama supporter before he was popular to be because I was going for Hillary, but I liked Barack so much that I contributed to his campaign even more than Hillary's. I actually worked for his campaign even though I was working for Hillary's because I felt like he should be the vice president, and I felt like he would have been a great vice president for 8 years with Hillary being a president for 8 years and then Barack coming behind her being a president for 8 years. Maybe we would have had 16 years of Democratic rule, and I think I just felt like Hillary was a lot more seasoned to be the president. But when that didn't happen, I jumped on Barack Obama 100%. I have a friend named Kyrie Shahid, who's a brother, and Kyrie said, man, Barack is the white man's puppet, and he was this and that. And I said, Kyrie, you can say anything you want about Barack. I am going to support him, not because he's black, but because I like the way he articulates his points. He just happens to be black. But I never voted for Barack because he was black. I never even seen him as being black. I knew he was black because I couldn't help that he's a black man. But I saw him as a very articulate, very astute, very smart, very strategic, a thinker. Mm-hmm. And I said, this guy could be different. He really can make a change. And it
but you can't be different when
I started. When you take on George Bush Senior, George Bush Junior, and Bill Clinton, brain trust as part of yours, you're right. You can't be different. So he didn't.
It's like when
he
the banks for his biggest contributors too. The banks, he was beholden to them. They were his biggest contributors. The banks hedged both sides.
That's why he wasn't the president of change for me. And that's where me and him have an issue.
But you're also, too, with the other things that's going against him, with the part, I don't want to bash and crash, but it's just what it is. You have a party that's going against everything that you're trying to do, to set out to do those things, does not make it even easier either. So that plays a part in all that, too. Because he had
Congress in the Senate for 2 years. He had Democratic control. He could have passed that banking bill that Jay said.
I'm not saying that. I agree because I was kind of upset with him when his first 2 years when we had the House and the Senate, that he should have, the first focus he should have been focusing on was jobs, point blank. I agree. I totally agree.
I disagree.
I absolutely disagree.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I understood the reason on the health care bill because also, too, that is an economic issue, too. However, I think the party, I wouldn't have done, focused so much on the health care bill as much as I would have jobs. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know what? I think it was impossible for him. First of all, let's go back and realize that he came in as a hope and change candidate. You know, so his message was, I am so damn charming that I'm going to go in here and everybody's going to love me. And he got overwhelmed with people across the aisle just completely disrespecting him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was such an emotional election. You know, the first African-American president, yada, yada, yada. Everybody knows the story. So he came in with a completely different conception of Washington. He did not know how to handle it. He didn't use his political
capital,
thank you, to full effect in those first couple of years. And I agree with Jay. He could have done a couple of things and ramrodded it through. But I also contend that health care, in my mind, and Jay asked a question earlier, Ray said earlier, well, nothing's really going to change because, you know, status quo, you know, the corporation's about to release, you know, tons of money. And that's true. But healthcare is one of those issues that affects me because I'm self-employed and I need Obamacare.
Right.
And I know a lot of people in my situation.
It's affordable health care.
It's Obamacare. He calls it Obamacare.
Yeah, he calls. He accepts it as Obamacare.
Okay,
yeah,
but,
so
but,
I'm calling it that.
But here's a
Republican who said who got $8,000 back because of Obamacare because he wasn't sick, because all the money he paid into it, he got a rebate. So, you know,
but
I think hindsight is 2020. It's easy to look back and say, yeah, you should have just ramrodded things too. But I think what Obama was trying to do was be a president to everyone. He was trying to be fair to both sides, and I think he at least wanted to be able to say, look, I tried to be fair to you guys. Now, I think knowing what he knows now, I think he would do things a lot differently.
Let's be real. Here's the real thing is actually, this is the one thing, and it's not just because I'm a conservative. I'm just going to say one thing about the Democrats. The Democrats are usually more activist-minded, and this is my take, is that I don't think they're used to having power. When the Republicans get in, they do exactly what the hell they want to do, day one.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Day one.
Tax cuts,
whatever we want to do, they don't wait. Bush, he was something about Bush. The Democrats took the House and the Senate, and he still ran it because he said, I'm not going to sign nothing. He still used his political capital because of the fact that as the president, you do have veto power, so nothing's going to pass unless people work it out. But here's the thing.
But that's a hope and change message, though, Ray.
He said, I'm going to
rearrange how people look at Washington and how Washington works. No, that was folly. That was crazy.
That's like trying to find a cure to cancer. I mean, for real.
But that's exactly what we wanted to change, right? Everything you just stated was exactly what is wrong with the system. And that's exactly what needs to be changed.
The president of the United States right now is no deal. We have pitch men out right now. This is sales. They're pitch men. They're selling people on something, okay? Because they won't remember. Most congressmen, they spend 1 year working, another year campaigning, okay? They're not working on behalf of the people. Because when it comes to politics, let me say this.
I work for a state senator. I work for Vic Fisher in Alaska. So really what happens is this. You got a staff of people that's behind the scenes that's doing all of the heavy lifting and stuff. And then you got guys that brief the senator, brief the congressman, brief the president on what his position should be and why. You sit in staff meetings and you go back and forth about it. Everybody states their position. There's a senator, the congressman, the president, whomever. They then take a position based on what's been placed in front of them. And they go with it. And that's how this game goes. So while he's out, because he has to... He has to deal with lobbyists. He has to deal with, other senators. He's got them. You know, you can't play this game by yourself. You got to have a lot of friends. You got to be able to reach across the aisle. I believe that Barack Obama really had the power to do a lot of things had he exercised the power and not been afraid. I think that he was just too afraid.
Well, you're correct. It was actually a Republican economist that said he was biggest criticism of Obama. He said that he talks. He said, if you're going to raise taxes, just do it. We'll adjust. Just do it. Quit talking about it. Just do it. If you do it and you stake your capital on and you do it, we will adjust to it. But he wasted too much time in the beginning where he could have seized those opportunities and forced those people to the other side.
And then he said he was going to be the president of it was going to be transparency. It was going to be transparent. And then he went from being transparent to really hiding everything and not really talking about anything. And it's like, come on, dude, for real? But because the American public is so enamored, especially when it comes to African-American people, so enamored with him being a black man, that we won't criticize him, we won't let people criticize him. Hey, we need to criticize him. We're not gonna vote for him.
You know, but before you get in office and you get in there and you find out about the aliens in Area 6, and you don't know what to expect.
Barack Obama has been the first in a lot of instances. He was the first to be the president, the first African American to be the president of the Harvard Law Review. This guy was mentored by Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger is the reason why we have AIDS. They developed that in 1969. You guys can read about it. But the government did it. The army did it through Henry Kissinger in a program where they wanted to destroy a country for people of color, but not the natural resources of the country. They felt like they were losing too much value when they was having wars with countries and destroying the natural resources. That's what they wanted. So this guy has been groomed to be this. Ain't none of this a mystery to him, but they sell that to us because
well,
we buy it.
But his approach to office had to be changed.
If his approach to office had to be changed, then he wouldn't have George Bush Jr., George Bush Sr., and Bill Clinton advisors that are the preeminent people in his cabinet. He's doing the same things. He's doing the same things that they did. So that tells me that this guy knew what he was doing. He's no dummy by any stretch of the imagination. He's been groomed for this. He's been groomed for the position. Not from when he was a senator, but before that, when he was at Harvard. And they said, you know what, if you make these natural progressive steps, you can be the president. You're one of the guys that can do it. Obviously, they don't know if a guy can do that. But he made all the natural progressive steps. And you know what? He's the one. But if we start believing that Barack Obama is just this really good dude, who wouldn't harm a fly, because he's the best one. He's the one politician.
He is the drone president. I mean, you know what his legacy is going to be is how many drone strikes he has, levied against, in his foreign policy issues. So no, he is not naive whatsoever.
Oh, no.
But what I'm trying to say is, what he ran on, he tried his best to do. But once he got into Washington, it all bets were off. And it took once the midterms in 2010,
I feel like he knew all the time.
Well, maybe, possibly.
He was a senator first, Mark. He was a senator first.
One time.
He was in Washington.
He came from state senate before that.
On this guy.
And he was academia before that. So it's all theory to him.
They sped up the process on him because they said this is our time. This is the time to do it. Either a woman or a black man, but they ain't gonna be both. Let's get this guy in right now, and he'll fall in line with the program. Hillary ain't gonna fall in line with the program. Hillary gonna go rogue on you.
Hillary's right there at the presidency. She's lived it. I mean, for two terms, so she knows what's really truly going on. I don't think Barack had that full understanding of the magnitude of the position because he was not there in the office itself. So that's two different things.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it real slow. Hold on. Don't be laughing. I'm going to say it real slow. Everything that, you all are saying about why black folk do what they do because Obama is black, it's vice versa. The white folk going to vote for Romney just because he's white. So we need to stop head bashing the black folk. I mean, we got folk around here, it's time to put the white man back in the White House and all this bullshit. So let's just keep it real. Let's just keep it 100.
Well, but first of all, nobody said, again, I didn't say anything about whether people voted for him, whether he was black or white. I said I didn't vote for him. I didn't name anybody.
I know it.
Okay.
Don't take it personal.
Right. I'm not taking it personal. I'm just telling you, don't put words in my mouth. I didn't. Hold up. I don't think I did that.
I don't even know who's talking, so I don't think I mentioned anybody's name. But what I did say, I responded to, I'm the only person who mentioned being black
and voting for Barack, and I didn't say anything about black folk, whether they should or shouldn't. I said I didn't vote for Barack because he was black. This is Jay King speaking.
Jay King was up in the South. Anyway, let me just keep on going. The same thing that you or whoever is saying about black folk is the same thing are the same reasons why
nobody
people
said anything about
are,
black folks.
Okay, well let
you
me say it. Well then
just
let
now
me say it. Let me say it.
And then say it. And then
black
speak your
folk,
mouth
okay,
to
I'm
say it, but
say
don't
it
put your
black
words in somebody else's
are
mouth.
Not, okay, well let me say it. Black folk, you know, may be voting for Obama because he black. But let
so?
Lynn Littlejohn also say that there's a whole lot of honky tonks that's gonna be voting for Romney just because he's white. Now I said it, I'm hitting the mute button.
But the thing is, honestly, but my whole thing is that I just hate it when people think you just supposed to vote for him. Like I say, I don't like the dude. I'd be a fool to vote for Obama. I'm like 90, maybe 10% and 15% agreeance with him. That would be crazy for me to vote against everything I believe in just because he's black. That's stupid. Because when changes come, then I can't blame anybody but myself for voting against my own interest. You know,
I'm sick of hearing this myself because I'm like, people voted for Obama because he was the better candidate. If this whole people voted for him because he was black was true, Jesse Jackson would have won the majority of the black vote,
thank
which
you
he did.
Al
Sharpton would have won the majority of the black vote, which he didn't.
Well,
we don't
well,
vote
Jesse
for people
black,
just because
Jesse
they're black.
Jesse Jackson won 90% of the black
my
vote.
My integrity, shit.
Jesse Jackson voted 90% of the black vote. What Obama got was 99% of the black vote, but he got a large percentage of the white vote. He could never
I
be president without
hard
white
to
vote.
Believe.
Huh?
People, let's go back. Wait a minute. Let's look at
I find
y'all
very
talk
hard
about
to
the
believe
popular vote. What about the electoral vote? Okay, that's one that's going to determine who's going to be president. So a lot of you got to like look at right now. Romney might got the popular vote, which I find that hard to believe. But hey, but the Obama got the electoral vote. So you still got this system in place. So
right. Let's
not just look at the popular vote here. Yeah, because he might seem popular and all this stuff, which I still find hard to believe. It's all
about the electorate. He's not that popular. They're trying to fix it the same way they try to do
right.
McCain. They tried to make McCain seem like he was more popular than he was and that this race was going to be closer than it was, and it wasn't. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, they're doing the fear factor again. Y'all better get out and vote because, I mean, people are going to vote that's going to vote. Barack is going to win this thing by somewhere between 6 and 10 points. It's not going to be as close as they're trying to make it. But this is what white folk do, and this is how we respond to it. They don't scare me. First of all, Romney is too different from most Americans.
Right.
He don't relate to most Americans. White, black, red, green. But of course, you're gonna have those racists, those bigots that are rednecks in the South and in the Midwest, but they don't make up the majority of the population.
But you know what's interesting
Barack
about
Obama's
this whole thing? I'm not sure about that, Jay. And you know, I called you out earlier, hoping that you would call in because you're so confident. But you know, big difference is we had a show on the Electoral College earlier, a couple of months ago, and it may actually work in our favor this time because Ohio, Wisconsin, all the states that they tried to push through. Voter registration suppression, union busting issues are the states that Romney needs to win. No Republican president has ever won without Ohio. So it's just a strange kind of gotcha that the Electoral College may actually work in our favor this time.
Okay.
No, I'm saying I'm agreeing with you. What are you talking about? You're disagreeing. I agree with
you. No.
I'm saying that we're gonna win.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I think we're gonna win the Electoral College. I think we're gonna win the popular vote. I don't believe Romney is that popular.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But you know, the overall popularity is devoid of the Electoral College. You know. You have to win the states in order to become president, which is what happened in 2000. So I'm just calling out that it's a weird thing that it worked for Bush in 2000, where he won the Electoral College and didn't win the popular vote.
Right.
Well, I think when it comes to elections in general, like y'all got to remember, if you go back to polling data. they, like I say, they had Jimmy Carter beating the hell out of Reagan, and then he got slammed. I mean, it all depends on how people feel on November 6th. With that, most people that, because see, folks like, for instance, if you all are Democrats, y'all gonna vote Democrat. I'm a conservative. I'm gonna vote for Romney. Period. Nothing gonna change my mind unless you find a picture of Romney molesting some kid or something like that.
Nothing's gonna change. Come on, Ray, you know that's bullshit. You know what happened leading up to that election.
But
it was the Iran-Contra, and Reagan cut a deal with the devil to get elected.
Okay,
you know
come on. Whatever, however you say it, whatever. But the point I'm getting at is, on November 6th, independent voters, the actual people that's in like the amount of like 17%, they're the ones that decide elections. So when they go to the pump on November 6th, how they feel about the economy on November 6th, that's what's going to decide. But one reason why, you're right, when it comes to Ohio, the advantage that Barack has is that the unemployment rate has dipped. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I think it's unemployment in Ohio now is like 7.3%.
Seven.
So, I just pulled it up. It's about 7.3 statewide. But the point is,
you got old data.
Yeah, well, I just pulled it up yesterday. It's not 10, 11%. So people in Ohio are going to feel better to say, hey, my future's looking brighter. So, yes, on that day, it's to his advantage. But remember, I tell people, still, I don't believe it's over till the fat lady sings. It don't matter to me either way, because whoever wins or loses, it's not going to affect me. But I find
this interesting with Republicans, because I notice when gas prices shoot up, not that the president has anything to do with gas prices, but when it shoots up, they're like, oh, God, gas prices are through the roof. That damn Obama, that's why you should vote against him. And I see them creeping down right now, and I don't see anybody saying, hey, you know,
you're not supposed
that Obama.
You're not supposed to. You got an enemy. You fight your enemy. You use whatever tool you have to beat your enemy. So, yes, if gas prices are low, they could be lower. Or find something else. It's politics. It's about winning.
The thing that gives Obama the advantage is the old early voting that's on out. Now the enthusiasm for people getting out in the vote early now is high, and that's what's making the difference for him. Okay, so and to the point of the gas thing, the president does not have anything to do with gas prices. Those are companies that run the gas prices. Something the president can do is ask. If we open up the daggone lines of gas, that's the only thing. He has no control over that. So it's just stupid. Ugh.
But who said people were smart? Who said, you got to remember, who said people were smart? It's because remember, the whole point, people got to realize, my life for the past 8 years was selling people that was stupid. I mean, it convincing people to do stuff.
Well, I'm glad your party is reaching out for the stupid people.
What I'm saying is, the whole point of anything, you're a salesman when you're a politician. You're supposed to strike that warm button in somebody to say what they're looking for, just like a preacher. You're supposed to find that hot button, as we call it. What makes this person tick? What motivates that person? If it's abortion, whether you're for or against it, right? Whether it's unemployment, you find that hot button and you ride
button. So screw up reality. Just tug at people's what's wrong with inside of people. Whether it's racism, whether it's this, you play to that, huh?
It sells. Yes, that's what you do. They have think tanks of people. This is all they do. I can sell almost anything. All I got to do is make enough calls. That's it. You call 100 people, you set up 10 appointments, you sell 3. It's numbers. But you talk to those people, you find that hot button, you find that thing that makes that person tick, and you squeeze it, you hold it, and that person will buy anything from you because you changed that person's life.
So what you're saying is issues don't matter. It's just do whatever sells. Whatever is best for the American people don't. So you're saying your party don't give a shit about what's best for the American people. Just sell.
All politicians do it. Most politicians promise things they can't deliver. People promise things they can't deliver. That's what they do, but they go out and they sell you based on what's important to you because all they need is enough.
And that's okay with you.
I mean, it's fine. See, the thing is, it doesn't bother me because I'm, when it comes to most things, I'm just neutral. Most things don't affect me unless we get hit by a nuclear bomb or something like that. Other than that, I'm going to navigate the system as it exists, whether no matter who's in charge. You know, but don't act like Democrats aren't salesmen. This is awesome. Everything they do is a sales.
Look, I'd be naive to sit here and say that Democrats don't play this, but not on the level that Republicans. I mean, you guys are awesome.
All of them do it. They hire the same people. They hire the same people to teach them how to sell. Okay? They do this. They hire people from the sales industry to do this. I know this because some of the people that train us train politicians, man.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a difference between most salesmen have gone through some sort of training to learn how to sell, but there's a difference between being a salesman and being Bernie Madoff.
No, it's what, but guess what? Being Bernie Madoff, you're still a salesman. I sold rich people found a bunch of dumb rich people, and I sold them a pet rock. That's what I did. That was the pet rock worth $10 million a piece.
I love listening to you because it's just shocking to hear the things that come out of your mouth. I mean,
that is a 47% comment like you in real time. Okay, but wait a minute though. The business type salesman is a tactic, but what makes it more effective is what issues are they driving upon in using those tactics. That's the difference. It's not wrong with the technique.
We're looking at politicians right now that actually, most politicians, like take Joe Biden for instance, right? How many times did he change his feelings on abortion, gay marriage, people like that, right? Over the course of their 30 years in office, they do what's popular. Joe Biden may still be against gay marriage, but it's not popular for his party at this time.
Before a guy that changed his position 6 or 7 times in 1 week, he doesn't even consistently work on his own website.
Here's the thing. But you got to remember, if it's not affecting him for the people that he's selling to, it doesn't matter.
Thank you. He's changing his fucking mind. Shit.
I mean, I wouldn't want a politician to be rigid anyway. I want him to ebb and flow as times change. I get that. But for a guy to be flip-flopping
like,
several times in 1 week alone,
but,
I mean, come the fuck
like,
on.
Come on, man. You don't act like this stuff. All this stuff is staged, man. They wouldn't pay.
No, your party is staged. Your party is staged.
Your party staged, too. Oh, look, come on. You are a fool to think that these people actually care about you. Who's
this
fame?
Game is staged. This whole
it's all
game.
About.
Wait,
let me tell you something.
Whoa.
Game.
I don't
go ahead.
Okay, hey, our telephone number is 347-205-9366. For the last 30 minutes, I've been laughing my ass off. Anyway, want to tell you about the next week's Cool Critics Session show. We're going to talk to Ella Logan about animal cruelty and animal rescue. We'll talk to Lester Walker. He was a young black man who won $10,000 on Chopped on the Food Network, one of my favorite shows. He was colorful, inspiring, and that's why I want to talk to him and share what he feels and how he got to where he is. We'll also talk the topic Phyllis Georgia Brown Sugar wanted to talk about, Wareth 11th, Massacre and Memorial. That's coming up next Saturday on Sessions with the Cool Critics. Coming up next, is Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show. It's all about communications. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., it's the show that started it all, The Banner Show, The Way I See It with Jay King. Then at 5 p.m., it's 5G Sports with D. Taylor and Hakeem. And then 7 p.m. Pacific, these are all Pacific times, Everything Lakers. You know, Steve Nash and the new Superman, Dwight Howard, who was with the Orlando Magic, is now on the Lakers team. Stephanie Beard will tell you all about that. They're in the preseason now. That's coming up. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have closing comments on what we did today. JKN.
Mm-hmm.
second chance. I messed around, got caught in another romance. I don't know why I didn't listen to my heart, and now I sit and watch as we part. I'm down on my knees, now I'm feeling lonely. I'm down on my knees, should have been my one and only. I gotta try to get my love back again. If I don't, well, I just lost my best friend. Blew it all on a little pleasure ride. Gotta put away my pride and get down on my knees. 'Cause now I'm feeling lonely. I'm down on my knees. You should have been my one and only. Oh. Oh. Baby, I don't wanna be alone.
Information and all the people that came in the chat room. We want to say thank you and we appreciate it.
You're good, Val. I played those two songs for you.
Yeah, I know. I love those two songs. Gonna play Mark again?
We don't have time. It's time to go.
I know.
Aaron?
And my dollar voice.
We didn't get to it today, but I just wanted to throw some support towards your petition for the RTA bus driver, Artis Hughes. You can find that at change.org. I think that it's very important that we sign this petition to get him reinstated as a bus driver. I think that, like you predicted last week, Lynn, you know, if they fire him, it's just going to be open season on people in those kind of jobs, and that's
yes.
what happened. Later this week, someone threw hot coffee in the face of a bus driver, and you know, because everyone's under the mistaken premise that, you know, these people aren't going to do anything. They care more about their jobs. And so I think RTA needs to send a clear message that you can't just do this to people. These are people. And so I urge everyone to go to change.org. And if you just Google RTA rehires Artis Hughes, the bus driver who was suspended and fired, you'll find Lynn's petition. And I urge
Friends
everyone
for
to
Artis
sign
Hughes
it.
Is the name of my petition. Friends for Artis Hughes. There's several other
Friends
ones.
For Artis Hughes.
Sign them all. Okay. All right, Aaron. And last but not least, Mr. Mark Reese. No, Mark Dixon. Go ahead.
And I just want to give a rebuttal to that whole Artis Hughes thing. I'm not going to say don't go and sign the petition. If you feel that you should, you should. I understand there's a whole lot of dynamics on both sides, and it's still a hot-button issue here in Cleveland. So, you know, everybody go and, you know, vote your conscience on that. Support Lynn. I understand it fully. The other thing, too, is, just as an aside, I listened to some Karen White today that I didn't even know I had because I had downloaded some old CDs a buddy of mine had. She is the bomb. You got to listen to Karen White.
What were the couple of songs that you heard that, you know, you didn't know?
I was working, and I did some a shuffle on my phone, and
okay.
She came on, and it was like, well, who is this? And I looked on the phone, and I saw it was her. And I was like, oh, shit, I got this. Oh,
yeah.
I got to listen to her. Good, good, good stuff. I'm sorry I missed it when she was out, when I'm listening now.
But she got a new album out right now, and you can go get it at www.karenwhite.me, Carpe Diem. You can go purchase it now. It's a great record, and you can hear it. And you can hear it.
She's going to be on the Tom Joyner Morning Show this coming Monday.
And I'll be there with her. I mean, I'm not a shill. This was just off the cuff. I did not even plan this. Damn, that girl can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's bad. You should go get the new album. You'll love it.
Oh, I will. Trust me on that. I will.
Coming up next is Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show, all here on the J. King Network, the JKN. This has been Sessions with the Cool Critics. We are fools, y'all. Check us out. We'll be back next Saturday.